Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Whirl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, let's see, it's 7 o'clock, and I am actually not in Queens, not in New York City. I'm actually in Connecticut. I'm in Greenwich, Connecticut, which is just right over the border from New York. And I say over the border because in Connecticut, same-sex marriages are okay. And so what's going on is they're crossing the border into Connecticut to have their weddings. Yes, same-sex weddings. So I'm here in Greenwich at the Delamar Hotel, which is right on the Greenwich Harbor. It is gorgeous out. The sun is shining. It's almost going towards sunset. Can you see? Wait, take a look out. Isn't that gorgeous? Yeah. And I had already spent the day walking a bit, just a little bit around. Went to one of the restaurants in town. Called Mondello. No, Morello. I'm sorry. They're going to call in later to tell us that we're going to talk about the food and a couple of other things. Also, we're going to have somebody from the hotel calling in as well so we could chat about this really magnificent place. I could see why people have celebrations here. It's phenomenal. I mean, I would take the phone with me and walk around and show you, but it doesn't work that way, does it? So, but our first guest today actually is going to be, our first guest today is going to be Brian Childers, who takes on the role of Danny Kaye in the musical that's off-Broadway. Called it's Danny Kaye and Sylvia Fine, the musical, and it's the story of Danny Kaye and his longtime wife, Sylvia Fine, who was also his manager, and the woman who did all the composing of the songs, the lyrics. Yet she was the woman behind the man. And then later on, well, Stephen Stile went to a candy show in Chicago. He was there today and I believe yesterday. And although he can't be on the scene because he left, he's on the plane. Yep, he's on a plane, and he's coming into New York, and when he does, he will call in. We're going to talk about some of the new trends in candy while I have some things in front of me that I'm going to taste. You know, I haven't tasted them as yet, including Pop Rocks. Remember Pop Rocks? Yeah. So, all right, it's sponsored time. I just finished having dinner. I did not have dessert, and so...
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to, you know, I did have, I had dessert today at the Italian restaurant, so it's not like I didn't have dessert. So what we're going to do is now we're going to go talk with our friend here, Brian Childers, who's, I hope that's him.
It's me. Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi, Brian. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just opened up your microphone so that you can hear me. Yeah.
Well, great.
Where are you?
Yeah, it's Childers, Brian Childers.
Childers. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, isn't that funny? Somebody said to me, not somebody who saw the show, said to me, "You sure isn't Brian Childers?" I went, "I don't know. I mean, like, Childers, I would imagine." And it's funny that you would say that. I wonder who, now I have to figure out who it is that didn't even see the show, who knew, must have knows who you are then from something else.
Right, right.
So what does, first of all, let's talk a little about the show. Let's tell everybody what the show is all about.
Well, the show is, it is the life story of Danny Kaye. It deals with his early life from about the first 12 or so years that we meet him, from the time that he was a young performer in the Catskills, through his marriage with Sylvia Fine, all the way through his 1948 premiere at the London Palladium. And it sort of tells his rise to fame and his conflicts with his wife, Sylvia Fine, and how they sort of dealt with their relationship. She wrote special material for him and, you know, was really in charge of his career, so much so that it caused a strain in their marriage and their relationship. That's the story we talk about. That's the story we tell.
Yeah, and the music is mostly not like the music from the show is not music necessarily written by Sylvia Fine.
We have both. We have about 7 or 8 Danny numbers in the show. We do The Maladjusted Jester, which was written by Sylvia, Anatole of Paris, which was written by Sylvia, and Melody in 4F, which was written by Sylvia. And then the others are Tchaikovsky and Dina, and we do Minnie the Moocher, of course. And but then the rest of the music is original music, and that was written by Bob Bain and Robert McElwain. From Robert McElwain was Danny's last publicist, who wrote the score, the book, and the lyrics. And then Bob Bain, who was a guitarist for the Johnny Carson show for years and years and years, wrote the music to the score.
Okay, and. It's quite interesting watching you.
Well, that's great. I hope you enjoyed the show.
It's watching, you know, like going, oh, look at that. That's what Danny Kaye moves.
I've been setting Danny on and off for about 8 years.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah.
Yeah, I started this journey with Danny in 2001. And was approached to play Danny Kaye, and I knew very little about his life at first. I mean, I knew he was in White Christmas, but I didn't know he had such a big scope of the material that he did and the type of performing that he did. It was quite remarkable. So I knew I had a big task ahead of me. So I sort of got my hands on anything that I could get my hands on: movies, TV shows, every piece of music, books that he's read, you know, books that are written about him. People who had known him. So, that was how I sort of studied the character for, like I said, on and off for about 8 years, and I really, you know, loved it, yeah.
But you got his moves down, yeah, that's for sure.
Thank you.
What was it like trying to do, like, you know, the songs with the quick tongue kind of songs?
That's really the hardest challenge. You know, Danny had that patter tongue, that bull talk, that sort of, yeah, I know. And I would actually listen to Danny, and I would put it on a little tape recorder and slow it down, like in slow motion, and would write it out, like, and then I would be, and then I would sort of practice it until it became second nature to me. So all of the scat, the patter that I do in the show is Danny's actual, you know, real scat. It's not me making it up. It's actually analyzed and looked at as if Danny were saying it, and then I try to replicate it as best as I humanly possibly can.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty good. As a matter of fact, now growing up, I had the 78 speed record.
Sure.
And I think it was, I don't know, I think it was a whole album, because I must have had a few albums, because I remember I definitely had the Hans Christian Andersen.
Yeah, Hans Christian Andersen, and
and the one song that I remembered was Minnie the Moocher, that
sure,
was on there
Minnie
all
the
time.
Moocher.
And I
thought,
maybe we can do this.
Sure. What would you like to do?
Well, let's do the part and let's see if I can do it back with you.
All right, here we go. I'll do the first verse and then we'll go into it.
Okay.
Folk is a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a low-down hoochie-coocher. She was the roughest and the toughest for real. But Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. Hi, 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 hi.
Hi, 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 hi.
He, 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 he,
he, he, he, he,
he, he,
he, he, he, he, he, he, he,
Eh-lu-he. Voulez-a super.
Voulez-a super.
Ouvre la fenêtre, j'ai au fait.
Ouvre la fenêtre, j'ai au fait.
He, he.
He, he.
Reep the geep ga pa pow.
Beep beep bow.
Gill biddle fiddle bow.
Biddle fiddle biddle bow.
Reep geep ga pa pow ga pa pow. Vita te gill biddle fiddle biddle. Hit it gill it ga to the skara. Vita te lo vita te lo vita te. Gill it ga ga pa pow. Gill biddle beep reep. Go ahead. That's the Danny we know and love, and that's sort of the. That double talk patter and the fun, the comedy side of him, it's a blast to play every night. We do that number in the show, so it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have someone who saw the show is calling in and asking some questions. Is that okay?
Great. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who do I got on the air?
Shoshana Soma.
Ah, Shoshana. Oh, hiya. Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, Brian's on the air with you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I enjoyed the show very much.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you saw the show. That's great.
Where did you get the material? I mean, did you watch his movies and stuff like that?
Yeah, I watched all of his movies. I've watched a gazillion times. I've listened to his recordings countless times. And like I was telling Merle, I took his music and all his lyrics and his double talk and really broke it down, and I was analyzed everything he said, and then I made it, you know, just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it until it became second nature to me. So I really looked at anything I can get my hands on to portray Danny.
You did it very good, very good.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Even your voice, your singing voice sounded like his.
Yeah, Danny had sort of a croony voice. You know, he was a crooner in the time, and he kind of talked like this, and he had a little croon to it. So I learned even how his speech pattern was, and how he spoke, and how he sings his music. And I would just do it over and over and over again, and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse until I really, as much as I could, become this character.
Mm-hmm. Shoshana, did you see the movies that Danny Kaye did?
Recently, no. I saw a lot of them, yes.
This is Mr. Soma. My question is, how did you learn the words I mean, like in Tchaikovsky, the song Tchaikovsky.
It's, yes, sir.
It's wild. How did you learn those words?
You know, it's a lot of practice, a lot of practice. The Malachesky, Rubinson, Narinsky, and Tchaikovsky. I really listened to Danny do it a gazillion times and, you know, looked at the lyrics itself and broke it down and then started to really just, I can do Tchaikovsky. I've done it so many times that I can do it in my sleep. But that's sort of what you have to do because Danny made it look effortless. And that's my job is to make it look as easy as I possibly can, which is hard work. So that's what I've been doing. I'm just trying to study.
It was wonderful. It was.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we're rather, you know, older people, and we have seen Danny Kaye. We saw Danny Kaye, in his prime. And
sure.
And there were times when I thought Mr. Kaye was standing up there.
That is a huge compliment. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You're lovely. I appreciate that. It's a lot of fun. I have more fun on stage than is legal to have. It's really, I tell you, it's a role like this doesn't come along every day, and I had a blast playing him. It really is lovely.
Is there a chance that the show will go to Broadway?
From your mouth to God's ears. That's all I can say about that.
Okay.
We hope so. The Times Review just came out today and was really a rave. So we hope that this will spark interest not only in a younger generation and of course bring back memories for everyone. So we hope that we'll continue to run and the ticket sales are going really well and we'll be around a while. We're very excited.
Great.
Okay,
that's
terrific,
wonderful.
Terrific.
Great news.
Did you want to do Tchaikovsky?
Sure, ready?
I really have to stop. The subject has been set upon us. Stravinsky, Khrushchev, Fromshitsky, Rachmaninoff. I better stop because I feel you all have undergone
that. That was
great.
There you go. Thank you so much.
So great.
Thank you so much.
Good
you guys
luck.
Are lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Long run.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much.
Okay, so. Yes, so we're hoping. Yeah, we'll hope that. I guess we call that because of the theater. It's like off Broadway because of the size and where. You know, it's funny because you could say, it's really the Broadway area. And then I had to learn that part of it has to do with the size of the audience.
The size of the house, right?
The
house is 124 seat house. We're at the St. Luke's Theater, which is right between 40. It's on 46th Street between 8th and 9th, and it's right on Restaurant Row, you know, a block away from Billy Elliot. But it's considered off Broadway because of the size of the house. You know, it's not a 1,000 seat house like a real Broadway house is. But it's really great. We've been packing them in. We've been selling out. It's been fantastic.
That's so great. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm very happy to have had you on, and I hope it goes. I hope it goes well. It'll be interesting to see in terms of the age of the audience.
We've been having both. We've had, you know, of course, an older generation, and the first time a younger generation is starting to really be introduced to this icon, you know, this legendary icon.
Right. One of the things, by the way, one of the things I found out because I was going on the internet, is where Danny Kaye was buried.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a mystery there. Sylvia kind of kept it hidden for a while, but he has a marker somewhere else. So that's Sylvia for you, you know, controlling him all the way to the end.
Oh, because it says the Kensico Cemetery in.
That's correct.
And the coincidence, that's where my parents are buried.
Oh, how lovely.
So
lovely.
The next time I go and visit, I'll go visit
Danny. Go say hello to Danny. That's great.
Yeah, I'll say hello to Danny also.
Please do that. Thank you so much, Merle.
You're very welcome.
Lovely, lovely talking with you.
Okay, same here.
And
bye-bye.
Thanks for seeing the show. Take care. Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. That's Childers. Okay. Not Childers, but Childers. So that was really cool. And I'm glad we had some people calling in. And, well, while we're waiting, you know me, got to listen to some music. And this is one I just happen to like. And then I'll go to a commercial after. Love this song.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, may be the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell.
Another sponsor. we got to get that one in.
Do you know that 9 out of 10 people who are constipated don't give a shit? Perhaps they should, as over the years, the walls of your intestines tend to be caked on, not with just burgers and fries, but foods with all those additives and preservatives causing disease, damage to your immunity system, and lack of energy. I know that daily recommended supply of eating 31 fruits and vegetables can be a hard concept to swallow. But not anymore, thanks to Celneek, delicious organic drinks in 5 flavors: vanilla citrus, tropical fruit, apple, pomegranate, and kukicha tea. Sweetened with agave, there are no added sugars. And a 12-ounce bottle ranges from 84 to only 127 calories. So take the 21-day challenge by following the 4 daily steps to cellular fitness: nourish, cleanse, alkalinize, and live consciously. What was it just doing?
Hey, would somebody bring me a bottle of that Selnique, please?
Yes, and you can get Selnique on www.sel-nique, N-I-Q-U-E, as in like unique, but Selnique.com. Do you know that
I didn't mean to play it again. Once is enough. Oh, yeah. I wish I had some now, but hey, with the candy I got in front of me, who knows what's going to happen. So let's talk about what's going on here. Well, can you see the sunset now? I'm putting the phone near the. I'm putting the phone near the computer. Okay. So I want to get into something. Okay. All right, my friends at the football, at the Sharks, decided I should now have some kitties, and I do. Hold on a second. Come on in. Wait, hang on. I'm not sure if that's my doorbell. Yes, hello. Yeah. Oh, turn down surface is coming in. Okay. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Well, while they're doing the turn down service, we'll continue. So I got two kitties, and they're two little boy cats, and they got nails, man. I mean, they're drawing blood. I'm a way station. That's what I am. They just, you know, jump on me on their way to someplace else, and they just want to play with each other and just... That's what they want to do. I don't understand why they don't bleed. How come I do? And that they don't bleed. It's one of them just got me almost in the eyeball, too. I didn't even provoke them. So the names are Max, after my father, and Theo. And Theo, as in Theo Bromide, from chocolate. That's the chemical in chocolate that makes you go lally dally dally da. Yeah. So that's the update on this. It's really funny. Of course, they just think I'm on the telephone, but it's okay. I'm kind of waiting for, they'll call in. I'm waiting for, night. Thank you very much. Oh, that's something. They put some chocolates on my pillow and laid out my bathrobe. I find this amusing, you know. I should have brought the phone to them and say, hi, what's your name, and all that, but that would have been cuter, but what the hey, you know? All right, while we're calling in, the problem, in terms of the kitties, was that, so here I am, I'm getting spa treatment here, and at first, I wanted to do something, you know, some body treatment. But if they would have done that, it's like throwing salt on a wound. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I didn't do that. I got a facial. There was only one. Let's see, a couple of scratches on my nose and the corner of my eye and someplace else. So that had less scratches to deal with. And my face looks better, that's for sure. So that's I'll be soon. I'm going to P-Town in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to it. Next, while I'm here now, what I'm going to be doing is after tomorrow morning, I'll be off to Stamford, Connecticut, which is not too far, because that's what the trend looks like in terms of the same-sex weddings is coming up to Greenwich and Stamford, because I guess they're nearer to New York, to New York City. But I won't have anybody on from Stamford to talk about Stamford. Then that's okay. But while we're waiting,
are you ready for some football?
No, we're not gonna. Oh well. All right. I do have a comment about. All right. The lingerie team. Lingerie. The lingerie team is. Women are playing. Well, I'm sure people have heard. Women are playing in their underwear. And of course, that's what, you know, the men will watch it because the women are playing football in their underwear. And aside from the stupidity of that, and that we're trying to further football with what we're doing, is the JPD program for young girls to learn how to play football and to feel good about themselves. And what's happening with that is, I'm going to be interviewing some of the girls that had taken part in the JPD program to find out what their reaction is in terms of looking, you know, what do they think about women playing in their underwear, and if, you know, if they're finding that degrading, which I do, you know, and yeah, things. I mean, can you imagine? Why don't they, with the, you know, football widows, why don't they just have, they might have men playing in the jock straps. That's what they should do. Do that. And I'm sure you get a lot of women watching that. I don't know. Do you think the guys would do that? I'm not so sure. So anyway, let's see. Let's get something a little bouncy. Oh, yeah. Haven't done a little Janis Joplin in a while.
Yeah.
Janis Joplin. It makes you feel good. Well, so here I am, in case you're just tuning in. I'm at the Delamar Hotel, located at 500 Steamboat Road in Greenwich, Connecticut. And they have... It's so hard to describe this hotel. It's like it's four floors. There's not a tremendous amount of rooms, but the rooms are gorgeous. But this whole thing about it is, it's anytime like it's a place to have celebrations, and you could have like as small as with the wedding, let's say. You can have it as small as taking the presidential suite. They told me that, you know, just had a bunch of people in the presidential suite, and they had a, yes, not the minister. Well, they've had. They'll have a minister come over, or they'll have the, you know what I'm talking about. Do the ceremony. So that would like, but... But the areas, there's some wonderful little outdoor areas as well. One little outdoor area is extremely picturesque, and near the restaurant, L'Escale restaurant. And if you do it and indoors, there's like the library and that is another place where you can do the ceremony in the library. This is the library. Be your own BYOB. Bring your own book. And there's little areas here with some fabulous artwork, and people like just have the ceremony itself right there with that kind of a backdrop. So there are tremendous little places in this hotel, just to have as a backdrop for the ceremony itself. Justice of the Peace, that's what, right? I just got I didn't get an email on that one. It just went into my head. Duh. I'm a little I have to say I'm a bit like tired because of all the food that I was eating today, having just eaten at L'Escale. Where, goodness gracious, I had tuna carpaccio. I had a soft shell crab. I had oysters. And I had chuck. That's what I had. Chuck. Well, I had duck, so I don't want it anymore. And did not have dessert, of course. So I'm tired from that. We're waiting. I don't know what happened to the person that's gonna call in from here. But I wonder if I gave him the phone number. Huh? That could be a. Could be a problem. So I'll just continue talking about this hotel. I'm up on the fourth floor. I have a balcony window, I have a balcony, and the balcony overlooks the water. And there's like boats here. I understand on weekends when you're a guest here, they'll take you out on. They have a boat and they'll take you out for a little ride on the boat. But also on a clear day, you could see Huntington Beach, which is in Huntington, Long Island. And I understand that, so let's say if you're having a ceremony and you're coming from Long Island, and you don't want to schlep up on Route 95 to get here, they have boats that can, they'll take you over here. Is that a hoot? I mean, that's really great. A boat will take you over here. It'll dock right over here. And you'll say, what's up, Doc? And they'll say, you know, well, we've got a couple getting married. That's what's up. And what we're going to find out later on, what we're going to talk about is, like, how quick can you, you know, just come up with a border? How, if anybody just kind of, like, just comes in and just goes to City Hall, just, you know, and then has a ceremony and then leaves and goes back. I mean, it took me, when I came here from Grand Central Station, and it was an hour's ride on Metro North. So, I mean, you can have a bunch of people. You really can have people get on the Metro North and go. They were telling me that there's a wedding coming up, a same-sex wedding coming up from Baltimore. Although I'm not up, I mean, there are the states that are there are states that same-sex marriage is legal. There are states like, and I don't know if Vermont is going to do that, but there are states that just say yes and will recognize it. So we'll kind of see what state we're in. So in the meantime, I think we'll begin the state of a restaurant. Is that who we got? Who do I got on the air? Who is that? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Christine.
Hi, Meryl. It's Christina.
Yeah, okay.
How are you doing?
Oh, this is really cool. Yeah, it's really very funny. As I'm doing this from my room, they don't knock on the door. There's they have doorbells. So the doorbell rings, and I'm thinking, oh, who it is? And I just yell, come in. And it's the turndown service. So as I'm talking on the radio, they're just coming in. Of course, they have absolutely no idea, of course, that I'm on the radio. They think I'm having a conversation with somebody on the telephone, you know.
That's too funny.
Sometimes what I do is I'll just take the phone and I'll say, come over here, what's your name? And I'll let them say hello.
And get them involved, that's great.
You know, and in the meantime, what the odd part is they'll say something into the phone and they're waiting to hear somebody talk back because it's the phone. There's no one on the other end. Why am I talking to? No, never mind, just say hello. Okay, that's all. Anyway, so let's first of all, I was just talking about the thing with City Hall, so I want to get a little bit on that before we go into your wonderful restaurant.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'll stand by. I'll listen. So you keep going on City Hall.
Huh?
I'll stand by and listen.
No. I'm asking you to tell us about the thing regarding City Hall.
Oh,
the information that you gave
that
me.
That I gave you today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, interesting information about Greenwich City Hall, or Town Hall as they call it, is that they provide justice of the peace, and since I guess it's not a large city hall, they don't do the actual ceremonies in the town hall. They have individual justice of the peace that they give you a nice downloadable form for you to get names and phone number and contact information for different justices of the peace in the Greenwich area that will either perform the ceremonies at their own home, perform it where you would like to have the ceremony, and or in different languages. So it's really helpful, and for somebody who is actually using this service in July, I found it very, very easy to get a hold of a justice of the peace who would be, you know, available to marry me and my fiancé with little to no, you know, work involved. They had everything for me at my fingertips, which I was able to give to you, Meryl, today. And mm-hmm. I also went to New Rochelle, New York, which is where I'm having the reception, and I thought maybe I would do the justice of the peace through the New Rochelle Town Hall, and it was almost non-existent to find information about justice of the peace through New Rochelle in New York, so it was a little bit odd to me, but nice piece of information.
Yeah,
so.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I don't know what the difference is between the New Rochelle, New York, and the Greenwich, Connecticut,
right.
But they seem to holds getting married and that, you know, in very high regard, and making sure that everybody who wants to get married in their city is has a lot of resources at their fingertips. So
well, I'm going to look into that, because we look into that. Is that due to the state or due to the locale? In other words, would you the same thing happen in any place in New York? Versus, you know, what we find in Connecticut.
That's definitely information to look into also, because, you know, New Rochelle may not be a wedding destination place to get married, and Greenwich is some of the backcountry, and like you saw today at the Del Mar that's a beautiful location on the water. There's a lot of places in Greenwich that are on the water that would be desirable to have a wedding, so maybe it's more considered a destination town to get married versus New Rochelle, but, you know, you could do a little research finding out from different cities in New York versus different cities in Connecticut. That might be a good way to look at it.
Let's get to your restaurant.
Let's get to the restaurant.
Tell us the name and the chef and whatever. Yes. Then we'll get into the food.
Okay. Well, we are Morello Bistro. We're located on Greenwich Avenue at 253 Greenwich Avenue, and our chef is Townsend Wentz. He is a phenomenal chef that cooks up some modern interpretations of Italian cuisine. So you will find, you know, you'll talk about the food. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
You will talk about the food, I'm sure. And we are a beautiful spot on Greenwich Avenue. We are a historical landmark, which is very unique for a restaurant space on the avenue. We have original architecture from Rafael Gosavino Jr., who also did the Oyster Bar in Grand Central Station. So I have a little woman talk to me.
You what?
There was a woman who said, "I'm now off the host key."
Really?
Anything?
Oh, don't worry about that. You know, that's something weird. I got to find out about something, because I see something on my switchboard. Now, of course, my friend Barbara, who's now on, I could tell when she's on. I have a friend in California.
Ooh,
who
whereabouts?
Tunes in. She's in, like, Sacramento.
Oh, that's where I went
and
to college.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Well, maybe I can chat up with her and find out a little bit about what's going on in Sacramento these days.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that she's been doing this a lot longer than I have. And, you know, because I see this weird thing. On my switchboard, I see this, like, this hand come up. And I haven't figured out what the hand means. I mean, it doesn't mean like that you're muted or anything. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
But it
the
doesn't.
Hand.
Yeah, just, I don't know. I guess somebody wants to lend a hand. I'm not sure.
Interesting.
So let's go into the food.
Of course. Let's talk about the food and your experience today and talk about what you thought coming into the restaurant.
The restaurant, I love the restaurant. Wait, here's a picture, everybody. Yeah, wait, here's a picture. Isn't that gorgeous? Can you see it? Well, I don't understand why the people on the radio can't see the photo. I don't understand.
Where are they looking? On the website?
They're not looking anywhere.
You got me. I guess I'm not used to the comedian end of this bit.
I asked them to look out the window here so they could see the sunset. I said I'd bring the telephone over and let them and put it out to the window, but it
You're
didn't.
Good.
That,
You're good. You got me.
It didn't work. But anyway, okay. So the first thing I remembered, and I'll tell you why, I had the carpaccio, the beef carpaccio. And the thing, because I remember that, is because over here while I had dinner at La Scala, I had the tuna carpaccio. so that I remember, I had the carpaccio, and your carpaccio is made from filet mignon.
Filet mignon, yes.
Then let's see, I had what was the pasta? What was the kind of pasta that I had?
Did you have the bolognese?
Yes, but the pasta.
The garganelli.
Okay.
Garganelli is a type of pasta that's house made or homemade in house.
Yeah, and it's, you know what it kind of reminds me of? It's almost as if you were taking like a combination of like a thin ravioli and rolling it up into like a penny.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the thing. When people don't know what Garganelli is, we're like, it's like penne, but ridges
but
are
thin.
Going the other way. And
yeah,
but yeah.
And it's, you know, it's great because it holds the sauce very nicely.
Yeah,
that's
it does.
The sauce. Mm,
it's actually, that's like one of the key things that the chef tries to accomplish is getting, if it's not a homemade pasta here, he will get imported pasta that is designed towards holding the sauce because that's what a lot of pastas lack.
Right.
Okay. So,
and then let's see what else did I have? Well, I had so much. I wanted to try everything. Oh, the fried artichokes.
Oh, did I not tell you that's to die for?
Oh God, that was so great. And yeah, and you know they're not like frozen artichokes.
No.
No, I mean
can't
like
cut those little fuckers every day.
No. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that it was the first time I ever had, you know, artichokes, and they're dipped. They're like, it's not bread. It's like
it's like almost like a tempura.
Yes, yes.
It's the batter is thinned, I think, with a little bit of club soda, so it makes it really fluffy. So it's less of a like a batter and more of a tempura style.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I had the halibut, just for the halibut.
Yes, halibut.
Which was excellent, too. I couldn't finish that. I was starting to...
Yeah, by then you're getting a little full.
Yeah, but because I had more. I had the beet salad, too.
Mm-hmm.
That couldn't be beet. No, it could be beet, because it was beet.
which one is it?
Yeah, it could. It was beet. But I appreciate that it's not... You know, it's not like beets out of a can or jar.
Of course.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
there won't be any of that.
Yeah. That's what I enjoy about your restaurant. And then having chatted with the chef, it was wonderful having a chat with him, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, what got him into doing this,
mm-hmm.
that originally he was doing French cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And he really has a passion for Italian cuisine, and he has has fun really doing this.
He does.
Now, this time I did have dessert. I had that. It's not a lava cake, the chocolate lava cake. It's like similar.
It's similar. It's a take on the lava cake, but because in Italy, hazelnuts are very big, and they do a lot of hazelnut chocolate combinations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We decided to do the hazelnut fondant, which is a molten cake, what we refer to it on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically is a hazelnut-based cake, and then inside is the molten hazelnut chocolate, delicious. As soon as you, put your fork in, you get all the smell of hazelnuts and chocolate, and it's
really
yeah. And then there's the hazelnut, the homemade hazelnut gelato on the side. So that goes
which side was it? The hazelnut. You said on the side. Which side was it? Do you know?
Do I remember? I don't know. Sometimes they like to switch it up back there. So could be on the right. Could be on the left. Depends on
what
food they're in.
Definitely couldn't finish it. I mean, I just like I was getting, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. It's hard when, like, you're eating food and it's good and you want to, finish it and you want more and you want more and you want more. You know, like, I mean, even when I had dinner here, I was trying, some of the items here and it got to a point where, oh, man, I just can't eat. Just can't eat no more. And
you want to, but...
And the taste buds are going, have some more, have some more. The body's going, fuck you, fuck you. And especially being a Gemini, and I got the two personalities, and one is, against each other talking.
That is true.
So that's always a hoot. One is saying, something. But anyway, so how long has the restaurant been around there, by the way?
We've been, Asmarello Bistro, we've been here since December 1st, 2008. So
mm-hmm.
we're still considered a very young restaurant. But as a company, we've had this particular space in Greenwich since 2003. It was a French cuisine restaurant before us called Gaia, which a lot of people in the community remember. And then we switched over trying to do a different concept and kind of modernize the space a little bit and make the food a little bit more accessible and casual and fun. And we brought in a nice big bar, so we get a lot of bar business. Actually, this evening we're doing a live music bit, so we're going to have a lot of people in the restaurant tonight coming for live music, which we're trying to incorporate a youthful, fun atmosphere and, you know, taking interpretations on traditional Italian cuisine, but, you know, Chef Townsend Wentz style.
Yeah.
So.
I always appreciate live music, you know, because it's really a drag watching corpses perform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when these dead people get up and it's just, you know, those just like just
yeah,
a bunch
so
of bones.
Yeah, live is definitely better
you know,
than dead.
So,
yeah.
So live music is a lot that. It's also now some of the other restaurants as part of this corporation. You were saying me one of them is in Manhattan.
Yes, we do have a sister restaurant in Manhattan. It's called the Voce, and it's also a Italian cuisine based food, and they're a little bit, you know, not as casual. We're more of a bistro environment, so we're, you know, promoting the fast pace. We want,
right.
you know, people to come in, have a good time, you know, come in maybe three times a week versus one. And,
right.
You know, Avoce is definitely, you know, the it place to go in the city and to have a nice sit-down Italian dinner.
Where they're located? I'm curious,
yeah.
like, where are they located?
They are at 26 and Madison. So they're right outside of,
okay.
I think it's the Madison Square Park. It's right there. They're in, like, that area. I guess they call the Flatiron District.
Oh, okay.
I don't know too much about the geographics.
That's okay. Once I get a sense of the address, then I know where things are. I'll have to go there, do a little
yeah,
comparison.
Definitely, and then you'll have to go visit the three in London, too. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, when I go, do you want to go with me?
I do. How about I come with you on the trip?
Okay. Do you want to be my photographer?
Hey, I saw your picture today, and I have to say that you did a very, very nice job taking the picture. It was very professional.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yeah,
so
I got
that.
You
must be a pro.
I'd love to take food photos. And then you're going to see them. Actually, you'll see them first on my blog site. I'll have them up there, so you'll
yeah,
see
definitely.
That. And yeah, because I'll have something on my blog site. I like to do this. I'm starting to do this like sneak preview
mm-hmm.
on my blog site with some photos and a little thing about the restaurant. And then after you know when I write about it, then people can see the photos because I don't know how many photos I can get in.
Right.
In the actual newspaper or publication.
You know, it's such a bummer. They can't let you put everything.
I know. I guess it has something to do with pay.
That thing?
Or space, you know? Or,
space,
sorry,
you know.
We're not in color. You can't do it, you know? little things like that, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll find ways to do it. So let's talk just a little bit about Greenwich Avenue itself.
Sure.
As opposed to Greenwich in New York. Not Greenwich
right?
Village.
Which people do often get confused. So if you see our Greenwich Avenue, you know, ad on Craigslist for help, please don't come from Greenwich Village and expect to be having a job in Greenwich Village.
Right.
They're like, oh, but the address brought me here. Why am I not in Greenwich Village? I'm like, well, okay.
Well, you're in the village of Greenwich, but not in
yeah,
Greenwich
exactly.
Village.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually happened a few times, so don't get that confused.
Oh, okay.
But, yes, so the avenue itself. What would you like to know about
the
avenue?
Tell everybody what's there. What kind of...
Well, we have some fun shops. We have a lot of big names. Saks Fifth Avenue, Richards is another department store. We have, you know, your typical...
And a Whole Foods. You got Whole Foods there, too.
All the way at the top of the avenue. It's actually on Putnam Avenue, which is the, you know, the street that's perpendicular to Greenwich Avenue. And we do have a Whole Foods. So Whole Foods is definitely a favorite in town. And What else do we have? We have a lot of banks.
I say a lot of churches.
There's a lot of churches. One Catholic church on the avenue itself that's been here for a very long time. Yeah. And then let's see, what else do we
have? Which people should not expect to have a same-sex wedding at.
Right.
The others are okay.
So let's see, what else is there on Greenwich Avenue that's fun? I mean, we have some little pub bars that you can go to. We have nice parks. Greenwich is definitely a great town for public beaches, or Greenwich beaches, I should say, that are public to Greenwich residents, I guess. And you can apply for permits on the town website, and you must live in the town. And then you have to pay if you're not living in the town, so whatever, you can still visit. And they have some great beaches, some great parks that are officially public and anybody can go to, and those are scattered throughout the town. But there is a park on Greenwich Avenue that is right behind. It backs up right to the town hall. It has a great, you know, three great fields, so, you know, kids playing area. It's a really nice addition to the town.
I missed that when I was being chauffeured.
It's hidden. Ooh.
I missed it while I was being chauffeured around.
Yeah. You'll miss it in the car, but I was coming from somebody who lives on Greenwich Avenue, and I walk to work, and I didn't have a car until just a few days ago because I'm moving, but I used to walk everywhere. You find things that you wouldn't normally find if you're in a car. So the park is being one of them. Definitely, if you didn't know about it, it's one of the nicer things on the avenue that you can do. Just relax. They have benches for you to sit, you know. A track for you to run.
Also, I wanted to get back to the restaurant. This is
sure.
I'm doing this on purpose.
I'm always dying to talk about the
restaurant.
And
I'm doing this on purpose because Barbara is listening, and you know, and she emails me telling me she's drooling, she's hungry. Please stop doing that. And so, what time is it? Oh, I guess it's like 8:00. Oh, because nice to see another caller calling in. I get the candy guy. All right, I have to get to the candy guy. So anyway, I'll be in touch with you.
Yeah.
Because I have some, you know, I'll be talking with your chefs. I have some ideas for him, some products and stuff.
Definitely.
And then I'll also talk with you about we can set up my. Doing a place in Manhattan as well.
Yeah, definitely, please. I mean, it was an absolute pleasure to talk to you about all the interesting things that you're doing. I think that, you know, your article is going to be a big success. because Morel Bistro's in it, but because, you know, I think that's a fun thing to investigate and to get out there and get everybody to know what's going on.
Sure.
Everybody needs to know.
Well, thank you so much, Christina.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
All right, same here. And have a great evening.
Thanks. I'm going to listen to the live music now at down in the bar.
Okay.
Sounds like fun to me.
All right.
Non-dead music, that is.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Meryl.
You're welcome.
Okay,
bye. Yes. Okay. I was going to describe some more food, but... Now, instead of food, well, we're still going to talk about food. Now we're going to get into the candy. And I want to let you know, I have the candy in front of me, Steve.
Oh, how are you doing?
Oh, just fine. Yes.
Great, great. And you referred to me as the candy guy. Don't you remember Sammy Davis Jr., the candy man?
Right.
Right. That's a more appropriate title. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Just great.
Right, great.
So first tell us before I nosh anything here, before I start checking the candy out, tell us about what this whole thing was that you went to, this candy show in Chicago.
Sure. It is called the All Candy Expo, and it's held every year. Basically, all of the top candy manufacturers come and exhibit their goods. Everybody from American companies like Hershey to companies, say like Euro-American brands who, you know, they're the premier importers of specialty confections and fine foods, to the mom and pop, you know, startup candy companies. And they go because all of the buyers from all of the stores come to the candy show to see what's new, what's coming out for Halloween, what's coming out for Christmas, and what's coming out for 2009.
So what do you think, do you see like a new trend that's there?
Well, there are actually, you know, there are several, I would say there are probably, I identified about four trends this year that were very, very strong and very prevalent. One of the first probably was that chocolate is back in a big, big way. Not that chocolate ever went away, but everything is chocolate now, from chocolate-covered gummy bears, if you can imagine, to if you remember, do you remember the Peeps from Just
Oh, yeah.
One? Those are the marshmallow Peeps at Easter. They're coming out with chocolate mousse Peeps. They're reindeer-shaped for Christmas. So there, again, the chocolate. There's actually a company, too, that has an inhalable chocolate that you inhale through your mouth, and it covers the roof of your mouth and your tongue, and you get the chocolate sensation that way. The good old.
You know, by the way, I mean, like, were you able to get, like, samples of all these things?
A lot of them, yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
I definitely, like, after, you know, at some point I want to chat with you about getting some of these things.
Oh,
so
sure,
we can, like,
sure.
You know, because, like, I'm not a candy eater, but just, like, this is, like, interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's very interesting.
I mean, especially the idea that I can just sniff the chocolate. You know?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, and in the chocolate vein, too, of course, you know, Smarties, the roll candy with the little individual candies, they're coming out with chocolate-flavored Smarties. So chocolate was big, big, big. But one of the things I think probably that was – of the top two biggest was the emphasis on health, or what they're calling now better for you candies and snacks. The one that I, or, well, actually several that I found very interesting was one that was called a chocolate bar. It's called Gimme Calcium, if you can believe it.
Okay.
and it is fortified with 500 milligrams of calcium. So if you're worried about osteoporosis or you need extra calcium and you still want to have a delicious chocolate treat, that's one for you. Then there's also a company there that was called Classy Yoga Candy. And the candy bars that they put out are of the same name, but they tout these as candy bars that will retard aging. And that's because they have gooseberries within them. And gooseberries have been believed through all sorts of Chinese lore and different ancient medicines to retard the aging process. Now, I had one of them on Tuesday, the first day. Woke up on Wednesday and was hoping to look 10 years younger, but it didn't work. woke up today, still nothing, but that's short term, and I only had one, so I think I'll have to get several of them and see how it works. But yeah, interesting company too. It's called Flax Super Snacks. Now, we saw a lot of candies that had flax seeds in them. This company, though, does roasted flax seeds, and then they include, like, a chocolate powder or a cinnamon powder or a Mediterranean spice powder, and these are flax seeds that you sprinkle onto cereals, onto desserts, onto pizzas, et cetera. And the idea of flax within all these snacks and candies now is that, you know, you get the omega-3 fatty acids from them. And they're also very, very high in fiber. So people are...
No
are,
shit.
Yeah. No, people are just looking at, you know, how can we make these products a little more healthy? Because often, you know, people do come down on candy companies saying, you know, oh, it's, you know, too much sugar, too much this or that. So a lot of companies are looking at what we can do to make them a little more healthy. You've got a company that's got out Very Berry antioxidant gummy bears. Hillside Candy has a line called Go Naturally which is 100% USDA certified organic candy. And we did see a number of companies now with organic candy. Hillside is one of the leaders there. And interestingly enough, too, for Christmas, a company is coming out with an organic candy cane. So it is amazing, amazing, amazing. Also, one of the other trends that is definitely big and actually has been big for a couple of years, but even bigger now, is the sour candy. And the leader in that category is a company called Toxic Waste, which makes the most sour candy you can absolutely ever imagine.
Okay, as we're talking, I've been sucking on the Go Naturally.
Yes, and they're delicious.
The pomegranate one.
And you know, pomegranates are very healthy too.
Yeah, and these things, you know, it's interesting because I had a couple of people taste them, and they were saying it lasts a long time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It does. That's one thing about them.
Right,
and I do have in front of me the Toxic Waste Sour Candy Spray.
Okay, the spray is you can probably handle that very, very well. It's not ultra, ultra sour. If you try some of the other Toxic Waste products, like the original Hard Candy, which is a Toxic Waste hazardously sour candy, comes in a little Toxic Waste drum. They're small hard candies. Those are extremely, extremely sour.
Okay.
And what they've come out with now this year is a bubble gum. They've got both high voltage bubble gum, which is a rope type bubble gum with sour powder inside. Now they also have short circuits, is what they call it, which are kind of gumballs, soft gumballs with again the sour powder inside. And at the show, when I saw some of the people trying the short circuits gumballs, they kind of some actually fell to their knees because it was so sour. But now we're also talking adults though, but you know, because kids just can't get enough sour. They just love their sour candy.
God.
It's just amazing. And Toxic Waste has been, you know, the leader for a couple of years in the whole sour candy category. So, you know, anything they come out with is going to be just super, super ultra sour.
Wow. Now, I also have this thing, Extreme Energy Rush.
Yes, you know, that
what
is
exactly, before I even taste it, what exactly is it?
Okay, that is, you know, another big category. And because this show has been opened up, the All Candy Expo is also snacks. So it's been opened up to things like energy drinks. Now that is a 2-ounce energy drink that provides you with about 6 hours of energy. It's got caffeine, lots of caffeine, B vitamins, and niacin and taurine. One of the great things about it is that a lot of these energy drinks that you drink have a lot of sugar in it. This is sugar-free. And the sugar, though, after you've, you know, gotten pepped up with the energy, you crash. And
right.
You just and these are no crash. So the energy sector is big, and so big that even, you know, companies like Mars or the really big, big candy companies have infused some of their candies with caffeine. Now, this category, though, obviously is not for kids, and none of the companies suggest that kids, you know, that people under 18 really have any of the energy products. Under 18, you should have enough energy on your own.
Yeah, right.
right.
Yeah.
And so the energy, it's become a multi-billion-dollar business, this energy drink. And this one that you have is a 2-ounce liquid shot. You drink it in one shot. It's a lot of models and athletes really like this because it's not a lot of liquid. You know how models lots of times have to starve themselves before a shoot so that, you know, they are, you know, as skinny as possible. But if you starve yourself, you don't have the energy really to get through a shoot very well. And if you drink one of the traditional soda sized, 12-ounce or 16-ounce energy drink, then you're going to get very bloated. So this with two ounces, it's great. Get you through the shoot and no crash, and you're on your way.
I should give this to one of my football players before she goes on, huh?
Oh yeah. Oh, athletes love it. Again, because it's not a lot of liquid, and there are other caffeine infused. Mini Thin Rush also has a gum that is a spearmint flavored. It's Mini Thin Rush Energy Gum. There's a company too out there that actually does chocolate covered espresso beans, and so those give you the equivalent of one or two cups of coffee, and they also the one that is just covered, just the espresso bean, chocolate covered, and it's gourmet chocolate, is called Jitter Beans, and then they have one that is chocolate covered espresso beans with even more added caffeine, and they call that Crackhead. So it's amazing what people do come up with and introduce at the show, and many of these products we'll be seeing on the shelves third and fourth quarter of this year, if not earlier.
And I understand Pop Rocks are back, huh?
Oh yes, yes, yes. Well, Pop Rocks have always been around. They've been kind of quiet for a bit, but they now have reinvented themselves. They still have the traditional Pop Rocks, which you pop in your mouth, and it's America's favorite popping candy, and it pops. But now they've also introduced a new product that is called Pop Rocks Foam Blastic. And not only does it pop in your mouth, but it also foams in your mouth. So you get a mouthful of foam while this popping action is going on. And I thought it was hysterical. And I thought, not only, is it a great Halloween give out as far as candy goes, but I bet kids are going to be buying it before Halloween and going out as a dog with rabies and a foaming mouth. They were out there.
Oh, God.
So Pop Rocks are back in a big, big, big way. Then there's
I got them in my mouth now.
And the popping sensation is just great. And what's the people who brought us the classic Now and Laters, it's a company called Farley and Sathers.
Mm-hmm.
They have come out with gummies that are, they call, trolley little green men, and they are aliens with these huge grotesque heads. Those are things we can be looking out for as well. The whole show is just amazing. I'm very, very afraid to get home and get on the scale. you go row by row and sample, and it's my job. I have to do it.
Yeah, somebody's got it. Might as well be you, right?
Right, exactly. It's going to be interesting because, not all of these products will make it. Also what a lot of companies do during the show, too, is they will introduce, even behind closed doors to buyers, some concepts and some ideas, and they may have some prototypes, and they'll survey the buyers and say, well, do you think this would sell? Do you think this is something you would carry in your store? So it's a major, major business event. Unfortunately, consumers are not allowed to attend. It would be nice if they had a consumer day at the end or something. But the media comes and covers it in a big way to see what the hot stuff is. And as I had said, one of the major hot things this year is definitely going to be the toxic waste gum, because people just were crazy for that, and they just gave out so many samples.
So
there,
with this thing, like this spray. So in other words, I would spray this on my tongue.
You just spray it in your mouth. You spray it in your mouth, and you'll taste the sour sensation. There are a few different flavors. What flavor do you have? Because I think there's a raspberry.
Cherry.
Did you try it?
Just now.
And not too sour. Not too sour.
No, it's not that bad.
No. We have had, though, some DJs on the air try either the gum or the classic hard candies that are, as I said, ultra, ultra sour. And they've had to cut to commercial without being able to talk for a couple of minutes because it's so, so sour. And as I said, you know, the adult palate is, I guess, not as able to tolerate the sour candy, whereas the kids just they just want it more sour. And it's also a badge of honor for them if they can take it. There are many adults. I myself do really like the sour candy, and I have never fallen to my knees. I've been able to do it and be a man. but it's quite interesting.
So in other words, they should change the words to that part in O Holy Night. Then, you know, fall on your knees. Oh, feel the sour candy.
Exactly. And as I said before, too, you know, it's not just the U.S. companies that are showing product. It's also companies from South America, from Mexico, from Europe, from Asia. So you're getting a lot of different ideas globally, and Euro-American brands, which has, you know, it brings us the top American or European brands to America of, you know, the specialty candies and fine foods. They're there. Mars, Nestle's, Jelly Belly, any candy company you can imagine or name is there.
Wow. Well, I'm going to let you go home now.
Okay.
Because I know that you're at the airport, right?
I know, but I want to stay on because I'm afraid to get on that scale. I do steer. Well, generally, I think I probably gain 8 to 10 pounds, but this year I think it may be even more because I did indulge quite a bit. But you know, one thing I did want to say too, though, is what's very interesting about candy, too, is that it is recession-proof. People still buy candy throughout hard times. It's an inexpensive pleasure, and it's also a comfort food. It brings people back to a time when they didn't have any problems, when they, you know, when times were simpler. So it's nice to know that you know, at least one industry during these tough economic times is going full blast.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well,
but I want to thank you so much for letting me tell your listeners about everything that's going on, and we'll get you some more samples.
Oh, well, we have to have some fun with this. And then what we'll do is we'll have you come back on the air and do this while I'm, you know, sampling some of the others. Thanks.
Definitely, and maybe we can come up with a rating system or something, you know, from a 1 to 5. Well, this is a 1, this is a 5, this
is a,
yes, you know,
that's a good idea.
That would be kind of fun. Definitely.
Yes, that's good.
That's good. Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You have a great night, and take care.
Okay. Bye, Steve.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Candy. Huh. So did you hear that? Were you able to hear with the Pop Rocks? Wait a minute, I'll do it again. Give me a second. Yeah. It's so weird, I mean it. Okay. Well, I'm going to end the show. And, actually, next week I'm going to be doing the show. I'll do the show on Thursday. I'm going to be up in Hartford next Friday and Saturday. So I think probably Saturday night I'll be doing the show along with the opening of the Science Center in Hartford. It's a pre-opening party that they're having that I've been invited to. And so that's what I'm going to do. And after that, it's off to P-Town. Yay! So, okay. So, all right, everybody. Man, I'm so freaking full. We'll talk to you next week. Let's go. Yeah, I'll bring the phone out to you if I can, and we can watch the sunset. How about that, huh?